Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Digital strategist Scott Kleinberg with us to talk about an important topic that can impact all of us, staying safe from phishing and other digital scams. Scott, good morning. Let's start with the basics. Explain what phishing is exactly.
Yeah, sure. Good morning, Bob. So phishing is a type of online scam where criminals try to trick you into giving away sensitive information, such as your passwords or your credit card numbers. And they often do this by pretending to be a trustworthy organization or a person.
Is it my imagination, or is this happening more now than ever?
It is happening all the time. It is very, very common. And, you know, when this happens, I think about my parents. I think about online scams. And I think scammers do the same thing. They often target older adults because they may be less familiar with technology and more trusting.
Absolutely. Talk about some common tricks the scammers used to try and get these gullible folks.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are, I'm sorry to say, various methods. You know, you might get an email that looks like it's from your bank asking you to verify your account. Or you might receive a text message claiming there's a problem with your package delivery. Some scammers even send fake calendar invites, and those contain malicious links.
Man, I think I get a notice about a package delivery problem every week, and it's a scam.
Yeah.
And we have to also give a nod to your now regularly cited suggestion, which is the surefire way to make sure you aren't being scammed. Talk about this.
Yes, absolutely. Now, it seems so simple, but sometimes simple is the most powerful thing in the toolbox. Call your bank. Call the package shipper. Use the phone number on the back of your credit card and simply ask them the question. I received an email or a text message stating this. Is there an issue? Now, if there is, you can get it resolved right then while you're on the phone. If there's not, you just avoided being made a victim to a scam that could have cost you a lot of time and a lot of money.
All right. So if there's a list of how to spot scams, what's on it?
That is a great question. So I have a few top things that I would watch. One, emails or messages with poor grammar or spelling. We've seen those so many times before. Urgent requests for personal information that really don't make sense in the context of the issue. They're asking for things that, why are they asking for these things, you know? Requests to click on links and enter logins or other personal information. If you had a problem with something with your credit card, why would you need to enter your password? It's just a weird juxtaposition. There's offers that just seem too good to be true. It's just that. Messages that do not address you by name. You've probably seen them. We've all seen the ones that start with the word dear, but there's no name afterwards. Hmm. Those are very, very shady. And here's one more that I put an exclamation point on at the end. If you see the words gift card anywhere in the message, I can tell you with a guarantee that it's a scam.
That's good to know. It seems like another popular scam is a notice that there's something wrong with one of your streaming accounts or some account that you have. And there's a natural inclination. I mean, I've even had to stop myself because at first you want to fix the problem, right? I mean, these scammers are big on telling you there's some kind of problem that you have to correct.
Well, that's very, very true. But what you want to do in that case is you want to weigh both sides. So if they say there's a problem with your streaming account, go to the streaming account and see if it's working. You know, it's like you can check those things beforehand before you just instantly click and end up giving information that you don't need to give.
Continuing with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, sometimes these fake emails that we're talking about, you get them and they can look pretty legitimate. It's getting harder to spot these, isn't it?
It really is, Bob. Even if a message looks legitimate, it's always best to be extra cautious. My rule of thumb is never assume anything is automatically legitimate, no matter what it is. Be thorough and check everything, including the address where the email is coming from.
And you mentioned calendar invites. It's so wild that those can be spam, isn't it?
It really is wild, and it's one of the more recent tactics. Scammers exploit default calendar settings to add fake events with those fake links, those phishing links. So to protect yourself, change your calendar settings to not automatically add invitations. Always verify an unexpected invite. And don't be so quick to click. You really shouldn't be adding anything to your calendar without making sure it belongs there.
Yeah, I wasn't even aware there was a setting there to automatically add invitations. Good to know.
Yeah.
A lot to think about. Any final advice on this?
Yeah, a few things. And you just said it, you know, it's a lot, and it really is. But perhaps the most important thing is it's common sense. It's taking enough time to think through the issue. So ask yourself, why am I getting a text informing me of an issue with this account? It's weird that it's coming from a text, right? I paid my bill this month, so why is this person emailing me? Scammers capitalize on the fact that we multitask and rush through things. And so think of it like this. It's so easy to skim a message and click a link when we should be doing the exact opposite. We should be reading every word of that message, and we should not be clicking unless we're absolutely sure what we're clicking on. So as long as we do our due diligence in that way, I think we can still stay one step ahead of scammers.
Yes, and I don't know why more people just don't Google. When in doubt, Google, right?
I don't know either. It's such a good reminder, because if you Google what you're unsure about, you're adding knowledge to this whole mix. You're seeing if anyone is doing the same thing. You may be one of many people trying to answer the same question. You used that thing before about streaming services. Someone could Google, is there a problem with my streaming service? And all of a sudden, you have all of these answers. So once you know, you aren't alone, and the whole situation feels a lot less daunting. But the key is to do it in the right order. Don't click and then Google. Take a deep breath. Think it through. Do some Googling. That extra second, that could be the only thing that stands in your way between becoming a victim and saving yourself from total heartache.
We've talked about misinformation a lot with you, and this really applies there as well, doesn't it? I mean, it's amazing how often someone will hear something, read about something, whatever, and not bother to do some research, not bother to just Google around a little bit, so you can really figure out whether something is true or false. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, and it is basically the reason why misinformation exists, because it is so attractive to just see something that someone says and go, oh, that sounds interesting, and you share it. But if you don't Google it and realize that it's not a true thing, you just created misinformation, and then people who have sinister, you know, goals at heart, they turn that into disinformation by creating campaigns around it. So Googling can save so many problems.
Yeah, I know some people will say, well, you Google, but then you can still get misinformation. But it's kind of like looking at reviews, Yelp reviews or whatever. You see a bunch of them. You know, you don't just kind of rely on one. So good advice there.
Yeah.
Let's open up the Genius Bar, and I think we have time for a couple of questions this morning, and this kind of goes along with what you've been talking about today. I received an email from my MasterCard security alert that I had signed up for, that there probably had been a breach and that some of my information was on the dark web, also involving Nordstrom's.com. Any suggestions?
Mm. Well, unfortunately, I do. I don't know you're going to like these suggestions, but once something is on the dark web, it's on the dark web, and there's no reversal. And that's really sad. That happens whenever there's a breach or something like that. And it can be really, really bad where someone gets your social security number, or it could be something very, very minor. At that point, though, you still have a couple of options and tools available to you, and this is just something you have to think about kind of in order. One, you want to check every bank and credit card statement you have to make sure you're not seeing weird charges that could be a result of something being on the dark web. You want to sign up. You talked about how your credit card company sent this. Sign up for any credit card alerts that specifically alert you to unfamiliar charges. I have alerts on my cards that say, if a charge over $100 appears, let me know. That way, if someone makes a $1,000 charge, I know about it. So that's just something you can do on most cards. Put two-factor authentication on any account you have for an extra layer of safety. If someone has has all your information from the dark web and decides to open up accounts in your name, well, they can do that. So having that extra little bit is helpful. And if your credit card offers any kind of monitoring service, which happens when there's a breach or something like that, take advantage of those things, because then they'll help report when things go awry.
What exactly is the dark web? And can you go on the dark web and check it out?
That is a scary question that you're asking, Bob. The dark web is like this collection of very bad places on the internet. There's no actual darkweb.com kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
It's like areas of the internet that you always want to stay away from. It's not really... I wouldn't know how to get there unless I really worked hard to figure out some sites that house that information. So generally speaking, no, you really look at what's there.
And one more from the Genius Bar for you. I don't know if I understand this question. How do I get rid of those annoying, intrusive, fake Facebook come-ons from generals, astronauts, brain surgeons, others who hit on women? What's this all about?
I'm not really sure what that necessarily means. I know that there's a lot of people who kind of pretend to be other people on Facebook, like high-profile people. Like, you see people pretending to be Taylor Swift or people pretending to be Mark Zuckerberg and things like that. I don't know necessarily how you can get rid of a specific commenter besides blocking them, but you always want to make sure before you interact with someone that you check and make sure it's actually the person. And I would almost guarantee in all cases that anybody pretending to be someone famous is not going to reach out and talk to you, so it's probably not a real account. But those specific things you mentioned, I don't necessarily know, but I think in general that's a safe way to avoid interacting with those people.
It's the real Scott Kleinberg. Thank you, sir. Have a nice day. Talk to you next week.
You too, Rob. Take care.